Turning back to what is now a very familiar passage of Scripture for us here in our morning service, to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, we're going to pick up our reading at verse 4 of the chapter again as we continue working our way through Paul's letter to the church at Philippi. We've been in chapter 4 for a number of weeks now. We're coming down towards the closing part, almost like a postscript in this letter. And as Paul gives this postscript, this word of thanks to the congregation in Philippi for their kindness toward him, he draws their attention to many tremendous truths. Martin Lloyd-Jones is of the opinion that Paul can't just simply give thanks without bringing in some tremendous doctrine, without drawing their attention to Christ, and that's certainly true. That's certainly the case here, and that's what we're coming to again this morning. So reading from verse 4, to keep in context of what Paul is saying in this final chapter of this letter. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Amen. We'll finish there at verse 17. We pray the Lord will bless to our hearts the reading of his own precious and infallible word. We're coming this morning to verse 14, or verse 13 of this chapter, where Paul says in what is perhaps one of the best known verses in the entire letter to the Philippians, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And as you note in the bulletin, my subject this morning is very simple, Christ my strength, taking these words in verse 13 as our text. With our Bibles open there, let's seek the Lord together in a word of prayer. Let's pray for his help and his blessing upon us just now. Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy word. We bless thee for the exhortations here to rejoice in the Lord. And we thank thee that with the exhortation, we have grace from thee to obey that exhortation and to rejoice in thee always. And we ask, Lord, thou wilt nurture that spirit of joy in our hearts, that spirit of contentment as well, where Paul can testify that whatever state he was in, he was content in Christ. And Lord, make that true of all thy people here, that whatever our circumstances are, we can rejoice and we do rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. We think of this text that is now before us, where Paul testifies of Christ as his strength. Lord, write these words upon our hearts as well. And we ask, Lord, that we would hide thy word in our heart and not sin against thee, that thou wilt make this a blessed study, make it beneficial, Lord. We pray thou wilt take thy word by thy Spirit and plant it within our souls deeply. It will bring forth fruit for thy glory, not just today, but in the days and weeks and months to come, in thy perfect will. So abide with us now. Give help in the preaching of thy word. Fill me with thy Spirit. Give help in the hearing of thy word as well. Minister to all of thy people, to all who are gathered in this service. Lord, have a word in season for us, we pray. We ask these things in our Savior's precious name. Amen. When Paul first appears in the pages of the New Testament, he appears as a very proud, confident, self-asserting Pharisee. At that time, the Church of Jesus Christ was beginning to spread from Jerusalem, and Paul was making every effort to hinder its progress at that time. He was a passionate Jew with no real interest in true Christianity. He was a man who refused to believe that Jesus Christ had risen from the dead, and in his arrogance and in his pride, he spearheaded a campaign against the followers of the Savior. There was a time when Paul thought he was invincible. After all, he was a Hebrew of the Hebrews, a leading Pharisee. He was from the tribe of Benjamin, a man who was circumcised the eighth day. He had followed all the customs, all the ceremonies of Judaism, and he had been taught by that leading Jew of his day, that man by the name of Gamaliel. Paul had very impressive credentials, and when he went after the church, he had the chief priests on his side, and thus he was able to march from one city to another, hunting, arresting, and imprisoning the Lord's people. It's hard to imagine a more self-centered character at that particular time in church history. At times I picture Saul, as he was known then, standing by as Stephen was stoned to death and the men have laid their clothes at Saul's feet. And Saul believes that no one or nothing can stop him furthering his campaign against the Church of Jesus Christ. A proud man, if ever there was one at that time. But all of that was changed with the conversion of Saul to Christ. The very circumstances, what takes place at the moment of his conversion, also points to the fact that the Lord greatly humbled this proud Pharisee. Remember back to Acts chapter 9 when Saul is on his way to Damascus and the Lord meets with him, the risen Christ meets with him, and he falls to the ground. And he's left blind for 3 days. He has to be led into the city of Damascus by the hand of his friends. He did not march into that city as an arrogant, boastful, overconfident man, but as one who had just been transformed by the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in the very circumstances of his conversion, the Lord humbled this man. And from that moment on, we discover a new Paul. We discover a different man, a man with a proper view of Christ and therefore a proper view of himself as well. And as Paul grows in grace, he displays a very humble, very meek attitude. Instead of being proud, he's very modest now and anything but conceited. And I say that because of his own testimony. Example in 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 11. Paul says, I am nothing. When he writes to Timothy, he called himself the chief of sinners. He's not just speaking about his life prior to his conversion. He speaks of his life at that particular point. And then he writes later on that he was the least of all the apostles. Now, those are tremendous statements from this man, and they mark a tremendous change in his heart. These words were genuine. This was true humility from this proud Pharisee, or this one-time proud Pharisee. There was a deep recognition in his heart that Paul was what he was now solely by the grace of God. It was not dependent upon his work. Rather, it was dependent upon Christ's work. And Paul had no desire to lord over God's people or to present himself as some great man who suddenly appears on the scene to do some great work in the cause of Jesus Christ. Rather, Paul emerges here as a very humble servant of the Savior. He often introduces his letters with that kind of language, Paul the servant or the bond slave of Jesus Christ. That's why we must never take the opening words of verse 13 here in isolation from the rest of the text. If verse 13 stopped with the phrase, I can do all things, we might well think that Paul had returned to him his own super self-confident way of thinking. If the verse stopped with just those 5 words, it would give the impression that Paul didn't really need the Lord at all. If the verse stopped there, if that's all it said, we might be led to think that the Christian can do whatever he pleases. He has the ability in and of himself to live his own life. It might suggest to us, if the verse finished with that statement, I can do all things, that the Christian life can be lived in our own strength and our own way, and that we can do as we please. But the verse doesn't finish with that phrase. Paul qualifies his claim here. He explains his confidence. He elaborates on his ability by adding what are very crucial words, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Now that's a tremendous statement. In some ways I feel it summarizes Paul's entire life. This really is the secret of this man's spiritual success. It's the secret of his spiritual strength. These words account for his effective ministry. What he writes here in verse 13 at the end of this letter, and what appears just to be the postscript to the letter, this explains why or how he was able to accomplish so much and endure so much for the sake of the gospel. It's obvious here that there are two sides to the text. One relates to Paul's activity. He says, I can do all things. And there were things that Paul had learned to do in his Christian life. Attitudes he had developed, service he had rendered, ministry he had given to others. And it's very clear when he says, I can do all things, that he was not a careless believer. Here's a man who has made tremendous progress in his Christian life. His activity. The second part deals with Paul's acknowledgement. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And it's that part of the text that I really want to focus in particular this morning. Paul could have accomplished nothing for God. He could have accomplished nothing for God were it not for the strength that he speaks of in this text. And as it was with him, so it is with us. We can make no spiritual progress. We can do nothing of spiritual worth by ourselves. We need spiritual strength. We need what Paul references in Ephesians 6 verse 16, or Ephesians 3 verse 16, what he references as the strength in the inner man. The child of God, if he's going to live his life effectively and in the enjoyment of the gospel, he needs to be empowered or enabled to grow in grace and in service. The child of God needs to rest upon another's strength. He needs to know power and grace and help in our times of need. If we're going to learn to be content in whatever our circumstances, if we're going to rejoice in the Lord always, we need strength from another. Because we do not have that strength of ourselves. And what Christian among us does not recognize that truth this morning? I can do all things, Paul says, but only through Christ which strengtheneth me. Left to ourselves, we are weak and helpless. We need strength. And that's what this text is all about. I've simply entitled this, Christ, My Strength. And there are three thoughts I want to draw your attention to with that in mind. First of all, notice the source of the Christian strength. The source of the Christian strength. The words of verse 13 here are not really about Paul. They're really about Christ. And that fact should not really surprise us when we think of Paul's writings and Paul's ministry. That's the way he's been right throughout this entire letter. He's always drawing attention to Christ. Paul never raises a point. He never raises a doctrine. He never raises a theme. He never raises an aspect of practical Christian living without making a clear, direct, and strong reference to Jesus Christ. In fact, Paul never thinks of the Christian life apart from the Savior. In the opening part of this letter, he calls himself a servant of Jesus Christ. Later on in this letter, he reminds the Philippians that he longed after them in the bowels of Jesus Christ, or according to the love of Jesus Christ. In verse 21, he says, for him to live was Christ. Paul viewed everything this way. He viewed everything in connection with Christ. He rejoiced in Christ. He urged unity among the saints through Jesus Christ. He desired to know more of Christ. He was content in Christ. And now in verse 13 of this chapter, he reminds the believers that he can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth him. In other words, Paul recognizes that it's only in Christ and through Christ and by Christ that he could do anything. Paul knows that he has no spiritual strength of his own. He's just a man. And left to himself, he could do nothing. But with Christ, he could do all things. He realized that the Lord Jesus was the source of his strength. Philip Henry, father of the famous commentator Matthew Henry, once said, "Our Lord Jesus Christ is the alone strength of true believers. He is made unto us of God strength. He not only strengthens us, but he is our strength in the same sense in which he is our life." You see, believer, Christ doesn't just give us life. Christ is our life. And Christ doesn't just give us strength. Christ is our strength. Isn't that what the children of Israel recognized when the Lord brought them through the Red Sea? Back there in Exodus 15, when they came through those waters or through that dry land, and the waters were as walls on either side of them, and they began to praise the Lord. In verse 2 of Exodus 15, they burst into song. This is what they say: "The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation." Not just the Lord gives me my strength, but the Lord is my strength. David says the same thing in Psalm 27, verse 1. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" 2 Samuel 22, verse 33. "The word is, God is my strength and power, and he maketh my way perfect." The Lord is my strength. That's the point that Paul is making here. He has no spiritual strength of his own. He's just a man. But Christ strengthened him. All the power, all the grace, all the help that Paul needed throughout his Christian life, all those things were his in Jesus Christ. It's no wonder the Puritan Richard Sibbes said, "The origin of a Christian's strength is in Christ Jesus." The origin of our strength is in Christ Jesus. Let me expand on that. The source of the Christian's life is Christ in us. It's Christ in us. The word "through" in verse 13, "I can do all things through Christ." The word "through" there is a preposition that denotes a fixed position. Something fixed in place, something fixed in time, or something fixed in state. It can be translated by the word "in," and therefore it would not be improper to read the verse that way. "I can do all things in Christ which strengtheneth me." Now that's kind of familiar language to us. In Christ, or in Jesus Christ, or in Christ Jesus. We know that that kind of language for any man to be in Christ is language that denotes our union with the Lord. As believers, we are in union with Jesus Christ. We are in Christ. Christ dwells in us and we dwell in him. It's a two-part. He dwells in us and we dwell in him. We have his indwelling spirit. We are in union with Christ. It's what Paul means when he says in Galatians 2:20, "Christ liveth in me." That's our spiritual state. That's our fixed spiritual state. Fixed in time and fixed for eternity, Christ in us and we in Christ. And this spiritual union, Christ living in us, that spiritual union we have with Christ guarantees our spiritual strength. There's a great counterpart to Philippians 4:13. If you remember back to John 15 and verse 5, where Christ is speaking of himself as the vine and believers as the branch. He says in verse 5 of John 15, "Without me ye can do nothing." Without me ye can do nothing. That is, apart from me, Or without me, not being in union with me, you can do nothing. That's what he means. It's a very strong statement. Sometimes believers take that text and they apply it to their lives, that without Christ we can do nothing. It's more to do with our union with Christ, that if we're not in union with Christ, we are nothing. We can do nothing. We are yet dead in our sins. So John 15, verse 5, Christ is saying, without me ye can do nothing. If you're not in union with Christ, you can do nothing. You can do nothing to please God by way of saving grace or saving favor. You can do nothing. Without me ye can do nothing. Then come into Philippians 4:13. I can do all things in Christ, which strengtheneth me. There's union. Without him we can do nothing, but in Christ we can do all things. Tremendous promise. Because Christ is our life and Christ is our strength. So the source of the Christian strength is Christ in us. The source of the Christian strength also is Christ for us. Christ for us. It seemed to the Philippians when they communicated with Paul and sent him this gift, and he communicates back and sends them this letter, it seemed to them that everything was against them and against Paul at this point in his life. He's under house arrest, remember, and Epaphroditus, their pastor, has gone to visit him. He's almost lost his life on that journey, and these believers are discouraged. That's why Paul has to keep reminding them to rejoice in the Lord. They were finding rejoicing in Christ difficult at this point in their existence, in this point in their Christian life. They were facing trials. They were facing troubles. There were problems without the church. There were also problems within the church. There were discouragements. There were distressing situations they were facing. And it appeared to these Philippian believers that everything was against them. But the words of verse 13, Paul uses these words to remind them that Christ was for them. Surely that's the part of the statement when he says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Christ was giving this man strength. He was his strength and he was giving strength. He was not against Paul. He was for Paul. And he was working all things out together for Paul's good. Christ was for him. Paul already has addressed that in Romans chapter 8, that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord and who are the called according to his purpose. But even we think of the strength that we need, and we remind ourselves that we are in Christ and Christ is in us, and we remind ourselves that Christ is for us. Christ is not against his people. He is never against his people. He's against our sin, but he's for us. He is not our enemy. Christ is not opposed to me. Christ is not fighting against me. Christ is for me. And he comes alongside by his Spirit. You think of what he told the disciples before he returned to glory, that he would return and send another comforter, a paraclete, one who would come alongside them and help them. Christ is for us. Christ is for us. He is in us and he is for us, and therefore we have strength. The source of the Christian strength is Christ with us as well. In us, for us, and with us. Paul's cut off from these Philippian believers. Remember, he's under house arrest in Rome. He's chained to a Roman soldier 24/7. He's cut off from them, but he's not cut off from Christ. He is not cut off from Christ. Christ was with him in that prison house. Christ was with him at that time of trial. Christ was with him in his chains and in his bonds. Christ is there. Christ has not forsaken him. Christ is with this man every step of the way. And that gives strength to Paul. Remember what Christ said when he gave the great commission to his disciples before he ascended to glory? Matthew 28, he said, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. I want you to link those statements together. He says, all power is given unto me. All strength is mine. All power has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore into all the world, and lo, I am with you. And what Christ is stressing to his disciples there is that all power is given unto me. I'm with you even unto the end of the earth. Therefore, my power is yours. I'm with you, and you will be strengthened through me as you go about your ministry for me. His power and his presence with us and his power, therefore, for us, go hand in hand. And hasn't he promised never to leave us nor forsake us? He gives us that assurance here, I will be with you until the end of the world. The source of the Christian's strength is Christ. Christ in us, Christ for us, and Christ with us. And that we need spiritual strength should really go without question. We are a poor and needy people. We need strength which we cannot provide for ourselves. The trials come. But we need guidance and direction. When temptations come, when Satan fights against us as he does, we need strength. We need strength in good times, not to become filled with pride. We need strength in hard times, not to be filled with discouragement. We don't have that strength. But we have it in Jesus Christ. And by his Spirit and through his Word, he strengthens our faith. How does the child of God know this strength that Christ is and Christ provides for us? We know it through the Spirit applying the Word to our hearts. Christ witnessing with our spirits that we are the sons of God. The Spirit of God coming and revealing Christ to our hearts, assisting us in prayer, guiding us in life, giving us spiritual discernment, increasing our faith. He gives us victory over sin. He empowers us for service. He gives us contentment. He instructs us in righteousness. He leads us in his will. He enables us to live for his glory. That's how the Lord strengthens us. He's in us. The Spirit dwells within us. And we are strengthened. Without him, we can do nothing. But in him and with him and through him, we are strengthened as his people for every step of the way. That's why the Lord could say to his people in Deuteronomy, and to Moses particularly, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. Not so much the length of days and focus there, though that's there also. We can think of it that way. As your days, whether you live a long number of days or a short number of days, as your days, so shall your strength be. But it means more as to the circumstances of every day. Remember their pilgrims through the wilderness at that time, waiting to cross into the promised land with all the challenges that's going to bring. And the Lord said, as your day, so shall your strength be. There is strength from Christ, in Christ, with Christ, through Christ, for his people, every day of our lives. With all the changes, all the challenges those days bring for us. So Paul can say, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. The source of the Christian strength. And note here, Paul is not speaking of an exclusive club of Christians. Sometimes we think, well, that's okay for Paul. He was some kind of super believer, some kind of super saint. What he writes of himself in verse 13 is true of every believer in this house. Let's get a hold of that. Let that truth get a hold of us. Christ is not the strength just for a pastor or an elder or a deacon or a missionary. Christ is the strength of all his people. We are in union with him. Let's understand that. He is with us. He is for us. He is with all of his people. And therefore, we can say what Paul says here, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. The source of the Christian strength is Christ. But look also there at the text and notice the sufficiency of the Christian strength. The sufficiency of it. Paul's claim is very comprehensive. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Now, what does Paul mean by that? I can do all things. I think this is one of the most misunderstood and misapplied texts in the book of Philippians. People use this text on pictures and on different things, sometimes on tattoos on their arms, and they flex their muscles in a gym and say, well, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. People take the text to mean that Christ will enable them to do whatever they want. It's like a blank check of power, they think, to do whatever they please. That's not what this text is teaching. Paul could not do everything he wanted. For example, he could not remove the problem that he had that he describes as the thorn in the flesh. He prays three times for the Lord to remove that, and the Lord doesn't remove it, whether it's his eyesight or something else, we're not sure, but he had some physical problem. He prays three times, and the Lord does not remove it. Paul cannot remove it himself. And the Lord gives him grace that will be sufficient for him. Paul could not break free from the Roman chains that he's been held in here when he writes this letter. No doubt he has desires to visit the Philippian church again. He testifies to that in chapter 1. But he's not able to break free from those chains. He can't change the circumstances. He was unable to change the minds and the hearts of Eudeus and Syntyche in the church in Philippi, those two people who were having difficulties and divisions. He has to plead with them to be of the same mind in the Lord. He could not change their hearts. He asks them to be of the same mind in the Lord. He could not prevent Barnabas from disagreeing with him, and that contention being very strong. So Paul could not do all things in a blank check kind of way. The text doesn't mean that. We must keep this text in its context. It's a great danger in taking a text out of context. So we must keep verse 13 in its context, and when we do that, we begin to ask questions like, what has Paul been speaking about? What has Paul been teaching already? What has he been saying? What has he been testifying of? Well, he's been speaking about learning to be content in verse 11. He tells these Christians he knew how to abound and how to be abased. How to have abundance and how not to have abundance. He knew how to cope with the changes in his circumstances. That's what Paul has been dealing with. He knew how to rest in the Lord in good times and in bad times. He knew what it was to rejoice in the Lord. He knew what it was to let his moderation be known unto all men, his gentleness, his Christ-likeness. Paul knew what it was to wait on the Lord from heaven with anticipation and expectancy. He had been instructed in patience and long-suffering. He had been thoughtful of the Lord's people. He had learned to endure trials with a huge measure of joy and gladness. That's what he means when he says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. In other words, he is saying that Christ's strength is sufficient for him in all those changing scenes and circumstances of life. If you were able to go into that place where Paul was being held as a prisoner and interview him and say, Paul, how is it that you can rejoice when you're in prison? Do you know what he would say to you? I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Paul, let me ask you another question. How can you rest when you're in such hunger and such poverty? I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Paul, how can you keep going in God's work when you're surrounded by enemies and problems in the church and outside of the church? I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. How can you seek to encourage God's people when they're facing so many discouragements? How can you encourage yourself, Paul, when you're facing so many trials of your faith? And I can see him smile as you ask that question. And again he says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And whatever question you would ask him, whatever scenario you would put to him, whatever challenging circumstance you would suggest in those questions, he would smile and he would say the same thing. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And what's he saying? He's saying simply, listen, whatever your question is, Christ is sufficient for me. I have Christ. And therefore I can abound and I can be abased. I can be hungry. I can be full. I can be in prison. I can be free. I can be In times of encouragement, I can face discouragement. I can do all things because Christ is my strength. Christ was sufficient for him as he fulfilled his duties. Paul was a minister of the gospel. And that calling placed tremendous responsibilities upon him. He had the care of all the churches upon his heart. He ministered the word in different places and to different people. He sought to evangelize the lost. He sought to edify the saints. He preached to win the lost to Christ. He had to expose sin and error and heresy. He had to expose men who were against the church. There were times when Paul put his neck out and put his neck on the line for the sake of the gospel. He opposed those who opposed Christ, and he stood with those who loved Christ. And sometimes the more he loved the people, the more it seemed they hated him. But he kept loving them for all of that. You read 2 Corinthians, you find that Paul is having to defend his apostleship. He never liked to do that. You don't read of him having to do that very often or doing it very often. He didn't like to have to do that. But this man had very heavy responsibilities to consider. And you sense that even through this letter we've been studying. He has issues he has to deal with. He has problems he has to address. But he's able to continue on, even when he's in prison. Why? Because he can do all things through Christ which strengthens him. He's able to fulfill his duties by the power that he has in Jesus Christ. In Acts 26, when he's given testimony to how the Lord has been leading him and guiding him and blessing him throughout his ministry, he tells Agrippa that he's able to continue only through the grace of God. He's in prison. He's before King Agrippa. He's been examined and questioned and interrogated. And he says, "Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue on to this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. Having therefore obtained help from God, I continue." The strength of Christ in this man was sufficient for him as he fulfilled his duties. And believer, we will find the same. The strength we have in Christ is sufficient for us as we live our Christian lives. Whatever we're called upon to do, whatever God's will is for us, whether it's the will that he reveals in his word that we know here's how we are to live, here's what we are to avoid, here's what we are to follow, or his specific will guiding us and directing us in the steps we should take, his strength is sufficient for us as we fulfill those responsibilities. "I will never leave thee. I will never forsake thee," he says. He is a very present help in trouble. He is our refuge and our strength, the psalmist said. When Martin Luther was in the midst of his Reformation battles, he would say to Melanchthon, "Let's sing Psalm 46. And you can picture them in your mind bursting into song. "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." And they knew the significance of that as they fulfilled their duties at that time. The strength of Christ was sufficient for them. And Christ was sufficient for him not only as he fulfilled his duties, but as he faced his difficulties. He hints in verse 12 here, at the end of verse 12, that he knew how to abound and to suffer need. Paul knew what it was to suffer. And that little phrase at the end of verse 12 covers a whole lot of difficult times in his life. To suffer need. Times when he was shipwrecked, stoned, robbed, beaten with rods, despised, rejected, lied against, left half dead. He suffered. But he knew how to cope with those things. He knew how to continue on despite those things, how to endure them, how to learn from them, because he could do all things through Christ which strengthened him. And Christ was sufficient for him as he considered death as well. Paul's under a Roman guard here. Nero is the emperor, a man with no love for Christians. And Paul knew that any moment that order could be given for him to be taken and executed. But he could face death with a holy calmness because Christ was strengthening him. It's why when he writes to Timothy, he says, I'm ready to be offered and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I've finished the course. I've kept the faith. And there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness which the righteous judge shall give me at that day. What's he doing? He's facing death with strength. Why? Because he can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth him. We think of death and it fills us with fear. Not so much what lies beyond death, but perhaps even just our manner of dying. It's the last enemy. But we can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth us. And he has promised in Psalm 23, when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. That's in Paul's mind here. I can face that. I can consider death. I can contemplate my own leaving of this world for the next. I can do so with calmness because Christ is my strength. This is strength in the inner man. This is spiritual strength. And Christ is sufficient for the believer. I don't know your exact circumstances right now. Maybe there's someone here and you're being battered by the devil. You're facing hard times in your Christian life. Maybe facing huge personal challenges. You're in the midst of very dark days. In fact, if you were to tell the truth, you've never faced darker days. And you feel that things are falling down around you. And you feel your weakness and you feel your lack of strength and you wonder where on earth is it going to end and how will I get through this? How can I get by? How can I get through the next day? How can I stay content and confident and calm and cheerful? It seems but beyond you. And you've come through Philippians with us in chapter 4 and you've read Paul saying, I've learned in whatever state I am to be content. And you've heard him say, rejoice in the Lord, not just in good times, but rejoice in the Lord always. And you feel in your heart, I can't do that. Paul, your circumstances are different to mine. And if you knew my circumstances, you wouldn't exhort me to rejoice always. And I don't know how to be content in the circumstances I'm facing. Believer, you're forgetting the strength you have in Christ. And when we look unto Christ and see the sufficiency that is ours in Jesus Christ, and meditate on that truth, and let that truth get a hold of us, and us get a hold of that truth, then we come down to verse 13, and we can say with Paul, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me, because Christ is sufficient for me. Reading through Corinthians recently in my own reading, Paul asks there, having outlined something of the ministry, he said, who is sufficient for these things? Comes into the next chapter and he says, our sufficiency is of God. Cast your mind back into the days of Elijah. Elijah's gone to Ahab and told him, because God has told him to do this, gone to Ahab and told him, there's going to be no rain for 3.5 years. And then he flees to the brook and the Lord sustains him there for a time and then the brook dries up and Elijah doesn't move from the brook until the Lord tells him, even though the brook has dried up. He tells him, go to the widow in Zarephath, for I have commanded her there and she will meet your needs. And so he goes and he finds the widow woman. She's there gathering sticks that she might light a fire, her final fire. Take the handful of flour, the cruse of oil that she has, bake a cake for her and her son, and then die. So she's thinking. Elijah says, bake me a cake first. A huge step of faith for her. Here's a stranger demanding this of her, but the Lord works in her heart and she bakes the cake, and the cruse of oil and the barrel of meal never exhausts. Why? Why? Because God is sufficient for his people. Whatever our circumstances are, whatever trials we face, family, personal, whatever they might be, we can learn to abound and to be abased, to be content, to rejoice, to be calm, to be cheerful, to be confident, because Christ is our strength. He is sufficient for us, believer, and always will be. Always will be. The source of the Christian strength, the sufficiency of the Christian strength. Let me say something quickly and lastly on the significance of the Christian strength. What did this mean for Paul? When he says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me, what did that message say to him? And what does his testimony say to the Philippian believers? And by extension, what does it say to us? Let me suggest four things very quickly. This is a message that promotes Christian humility. It promotes Christian humility. Remember, he's telling them from chapter 2, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Don't be proud. Don't think more of yourself than you ought to. Esteem others better than yourselves. And now he writes, I can do all things, but I can't do all things in myself. I can only do all things through Christ. That's a humbling statement. Well, it's good for us to recognize that we don't have the strength in and of ourselves. So let's not pretend we do. Let's not go through our Christian life thinking I can do this by myself. If we do that, we're going to stumble, we're going to fall, we're going to miss out on the blessing the Lord has for us that comes when we acknowledge that without him, we have no strength of our own. And therefore this message, the significance of what he says, the significance of the Christian strength is it promotes Christian humility. We are what we are solely by the grace of God. It also promotes Christian confidence. We cannot do it in our own, but we can through Christ. And that ought to give us confidence. Whatever tomorrow brings, whatever this week brings, whatever the rest of this year brings, we have Christ, and Christ is sufficient for us. Therefore, we can rest on him. We can trust the Savior. We can depend upon him. He is sufficient. He is sufficient. Whatever our situation is, Christ is sufficient for us. It's like a sparrow landing on the peaks of Everest, wondering, will the mountain be able to sustain him? We have confidence, every reason to be confident in Christ, because Christ is sufficient. We grow tired, we grow weary, read Isaiah 40. But that's not true of God. He never grows weary. He gives strength to us when we are weary. Therefore, we can have confidence in him. It's a message also that promotes Christian joy. We can be glad. It's no wonder Paul says in verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. And then he goes down through these verses and he shows them how they can rejoice. How can you rejoice when things are changing all around you? Because I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. And then lastly, it also promotes Christian activity. Christian activity. If we can do all things through Christ, because he strengthens us, then let's do things for Christ. As he strengthens us, let us witness for him. Let us seek to lead our families in the ways of the Lord. Let us seek to be faithful to him in challenging days, because he has promised here, my strength is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. Therefore, let us give ourselves to spiritual activity, knowing that we can do all things through Christ which strengthens us. Christ, my strength. The source, the sufficiency, and the significance of it. Believer, let's rest in him. Let's rejoice in him. Let's remember our blessed Savior. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts today for Jesus' sake. Let's bow in a word of prayer together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy word. We bless Thee today for our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee that Paul writes these words not to draw attention to himself, but to draw attention to Christ. And Lord, we pray that our attention today might be fixed upon Him, that we might rejoice in our great Redeemer. Bless all Thy people, Lord, in all our weaknesses. Help us to look unto Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. Remember those who are not saved today, those who are yet dead in their trespasses and dead in their sins. Our Father, have mercy upon them, that they might come to know this Christ as well and rejoice in His eternal strength. Hear and answer prayer, part us with Thy blessing, in Thy fear and with Thy favor. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.